number 86. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. This week's episode takes a look at the boundaries between being human and a robot. Something of a long-term theme in this podcast. It's called Reclassify. It is 2282 of the common era on the planet Earth. Visitors from other star systems measure time using different metrics. Revolutions of their own planets against their own stars, now measured in galaxy-wide terms that would not make sense to the still Earth-bound population of this small sector of the Milky Way. Across the universe, those species who developed space and time travel technology did so with the cooperation of all societies. But on Earth, timid early explorations of space faltered. The monumental cost diverted elsewhere as humanity burned its way through history, creating ever more ingenious ways of defending itself against each other and plundering the assets of the planet. Reduced resources gave power to those who controlled them, and over the centuries, human civilizations suppressed their own people as a means to fight each other for global domination. Meanwhile, the rest of the galaxy grew outwards, spread across the stars, engaged with each other, and learned new technologies, enriching their own lives and that of the universe itself. We're close now. Tiya spoke to her partner, lover, and fellow leader, AR. It's taken so long. AR smiled at the others. Seven of them gathered around the central console of the starship, their hands hovering above their stations, their long, flowing, floating gowns, light as the air, giving the impression of a circle of trees around a glade. Soft green, yellow and aquamarine glows from the bioinstruments pulsed with hidden rhythms. 6,000 years, Mr. An Ayar looked across at his father and mother. All those stories you told us of Mother Earth, when we were young, a lush green planet with forests stretching to the horizon. Huge screens surrounded them, showing the local star system and their destination, overlaid by star maps that had guided them on the long journey from their own planet, for they had gratefully accepted the mission of their guiding council, the Na'ith. Ayar looked up at the view of Earth and raised his right hand, turning it slightly, bringing the view closer. That looks like a ring of satellites around the planet. A defence system? Nedjez, the youngest, and half the size of his brother Mesan Ayar, spoke with the innocent enthusiasm of youth. I don't think so, Ayar zoomed in closer. It's a mesh of devices, but all facing inwards. We'll have to stick to protocols. No entry until we're certain of a welcome. Tiya looked anxiously at Ayar. I think we should get on down there. Tahamit was young too, but she'd been chosen for the journey because of her warrior skills. Intimidated by no thing and no one, she was always eager to act, confident in her abilities. We need to survey first. You'll have your chance. I know you're keen to see the sights of our ancestors. Oh, and the rest. I wonder what it looks like now, what sort of languages they use, what the buildings are like, if they still use our pyramids, the ones we didn't fly off in anyway. They all laughed, remembering the long tutoring sessions they'd undertaken before embarking on the mission. Their own ancestors, originally slaves of the Nephilim, the ancient travellers who had seeded the Earth, had returned to the stars as slaves still of those who had created life from the waters and the mud of the Nile. Tahamit squinted at the huge screen, looking down at the patterns of clouds. I think it's time to send in our own Nephilim. Yes, send the swarm. Let them fall across the Earth and tell us what the planet's like. Ayar nodded at Mary, the primary biotechnologist who nurtured the Nephilim. They're ready. Let them go. A pause followed as the seven star travellers watched the huge screens and saw the edges blur, then burst into millions of tiny lights flooding towards the planet below. The live data returned by the Nephilim splashed across one of the main screens, showing hundreds of views alongside the single vast impression of the Earth and its mesh of satellites. The Nephilim had penetrated the mesh without triggering any alarms, plummeting to cloud height and scattering across the face of the Earth. Maintain that height, Mary. It is so, but we'll need to be closer to see what's really happening. It's enough for now. They watched the scenes of huge cities rearing in the skies, surrounded by deserts, mountains burned, dried lakes. and armies of robots, picking in the arid fields, clearing debris from the deserted roads. Are there any humans here? Nejez nudged Mary. Hard to tell. The temperature readings are high. I don't think there's much of an ozone layer left. You'd think they'd have sorted that out centuries ago. Look. On several of the screens, located in the northern hemisphere, vast metal armies faced each other in formations so straight they could only be created by an artificial intelligence. What are they doing? Seems to be a staring contest. It must be a border of some sort. They're not moving. Look at them. Heavy metal creatures. Why did they waste their technology on creating all these single-function robots? Surely they'd just wipe each other out. Well, you remember those lessons we had. The tribes of old Egypt fought each other all the time. Our ancestors were pulled away when the ancients saw the unification of the upper and lower regions. I think they thought their job was done. Well, it doesn't look like it. 6,000 years later. No, and their global satellites, they're all spying on each other. If they worked together, they'd have progressed so much further. All this hard tech seems so old-fashioned. Sad, Tia frowned. Once our slave masters were forced to recognise us as equals, our whole society grew so quickly. And our organic tech came from another species altogether. I think it's time for some of the Nephilim to go down. Aya nodded to Mary, who gave the instruction for hundreds of them to combine. Immediately, several screens blurred and the views were split again, so the Nephilim in the sky could observe those on the ground, the newly formed combo tech, the giant Nephilim that loped and staggered with their newfound limbs. For a moment, close-ups could be seen of the barren, clean streets, the regimented pathways across the fields. Almost immediately, the screens projected from the giants went dark. Replay. Aya peered at the screens from those in the sky. Look, they were attacked. Instantly. Crushed. He pointed at a view of a mass of robots surrounding and dismantling the giants. Everywhere the images showed the same. In different streets, different continents, in fields and valleys and deserts, the giants were pulled down and destroyed. We need to study these robots. Find out where their controllers are. What's happened to the people of Earth? Maybe they're underground or in the mountains, Tahamit searched amongst the screens. Or long buried. What's happened to this place? I've sent the new instructions. Mary shook his head. We've lost more of our Nephilim than I thought possible. They take a while to grow. Tia placed a hand on Mary's shoulder. The biotech was grown from the stem cells of all crew members and created a symbiotic relationship with them and every part of the starship, whose own interior shuddered as the giants were felled. These robots, they're hard to capture. They drag away any of their own that are damaged. We have time. Aya knew they had taken a risk coming to study their origins, but it was an inevitable consequence of human curiosity, their need to follow the path back to their own beginnings. We have one, Mary sighed, exhausted. They've isolated it, bringing it back now. The monitors that protected the hull of the starship tracked the curiously shaped bubble, the cluster of Nephilim that enclosed the robot. Tahamit, Mary, join me. Tia and Nejem, keep watch on the Nephilim below and take action as you see fit. Aya strode out of the console deck and, with the others in tow, descended through the floor to the plantation deck below, where a mini technology lab had been constructed amongst the organics, separated by a security membrane. Inside, the robot had been laid on a soft surface, with hundreds of Nephilim hovering above, just below the roof of the lab. Aya stared at the bulky metal shell before them, its aggressive, hard edges an unwelcome contrast to the curves and gentle tones of the biolab. Oh, what is it? Tahamit touched the head cautiously. Are these eyes? She gestured towards two slits that ran across the head. Is it safe, Mary? The shell is blocking our scans. We'll have to take it off, the head at least. Mary instructed the Nephilim, who descended across the metal creature, smothering it, crawling and seeking, until the hard shell jerked and snapped open along each limb, the torso, and then the head. The scattered Nephilim returned to the ceiling, recording everything, relaying the images back to the console where Tia and her colleagues could see a small humanoid form, screaming, soundlessly. It's been weeks since it was released from the armour. Tahamit and Nejem watched the human who sat in the middle of the biocell, barely moving since being carried there. Has he said anything else? Just, what are my instructions? He only understands the notion of an enemy or not, I suppose. And we can't find any leaders or controllers. We've searched everywhere. Aya joined them. It seems to be a planet of humans carrying out their instructions to the letter. Somehow we've ended up being the inheritors of humankind, having left the planet. These creatures have no thoughts or feelings of their own, no consciousness. I don't think we can classify them as humans anymore. Yes, Tummit sighed and walked away. They might as well be robots, although if they were, they'd last longer. Well, that's it for now. I've been looking at consciousness and automata recently, especially the lack of emotion required to be a good soldier, to work in factories in order to survive the 9-to-5 or the 8-to-6, working on a strict clock in jobs that could one day be done by robots. But if they are, then what happens to us? How do we get occupied? What is the better life that would give us? Clearly robots and AI will take over, but is it just hard tech? Is there much more than that? Surely bioengineering has a place. And if so, does bioengineering lead us towards consciousness? Because certainly hard tech doesn't. Anyway, that really is it for now. This is Jake Jackson. See you next time. Goodbye.